Hello. Right, no bells and whistles, no intro. I'm at work, but I want to get my thoughts off my chest about what we've seen on day one of the Las Vegas Grand Prix race weekend, because there's a lot to unpack. I know I haven't uploaded since the summer, late spring, something like that. It's been a while, but I wanted to talk about Vegas. So I have been very excited about Vegas. I have been one of the few people I know that has actually been pro Vegas in terms of the race, one, even happening, and two, the circuit and things like that. So I have a lot of thoughts, you know, in the lead up to the race. And now, obviously, we've seen the first of the on-track action, and I want to get some stuff off my chest, get some thoughts out there just from my perspective. But I'm not necessarily going to be talking too much about what happened on track a huge amount, because the main story of the day is what has happened to the Las Vegas Grand Prix as an event itself, as much as like a sporting event, as much as an event for the fans to attend than anything else. So quite frankly, today's been an absolute shit show for Formula One and the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Starts off with first practice, the manhole cover on the Las Vegas Strip comes off. It completely destroys the monocoque of Carlos Sainz's Ferrari. It's had various repairs to the car, which now means that technically, under the regulations, Carlos Sainz will now have a 10-place grid penalty. Despite the fact it was not even remotely his fault that caused the damage to the car. Now, it's not the first time we've seen cars get damaged and then, you know, there's repair bills and everything like that from stuff like manhole covers coming up. But in this case, it really feels seriously harsh that Carlos Sainz is going to get penalized for this. If he'd gone wide and clipped the wall and damaged the car, and that's different. But he was just minding his own business, going down a straight. We should all be, you know, ready and sorted. And his car has been really badly damaged because of that, not through his own error or through anything that, you know, the team have done. I think in these situations, there should be a like kind of a side rule of the regulations to say, if you happen to have your car damaged because of, you know, something to do with the facility that you're racing at, then you should be allowed the components. I don't think it's unfair to allow a driver to, you know, essentially be allowed to continue penalized because of something that has absolutely nothing to do with them. I think that's completely fair, but there is no rule in the regulation to allow that. So I can see potentially that being changed, because it's just not fair. Sainz's weekend is ruined within 10 minutes because of something that was not his fault at all. I personally think that leaves a really sour taste in the mouth. I don't like it. I get it, but I also don't like it. So that's my thoughts on the Carlos Sainz situation. Obviously, the Alpine of Esteban Ocon was damaged as well, but nowhere near as bad. So Sainz is the one that's taking the brunt of it. Right, now we move on to the repairs to it. So they had a nightmare situation, really. Second longest track on the calendar, and they have to go around and essentially investigate and or repair every manhole cover for the whole length of the track, which took time. And that's understandable, that's okay, but naturally then has delayed the start of the second practice session to 2 o'clock in the morning. By the time they actually got going, it was 2:30 in the morning, checkered flag thrown at 4 a.m. That is absolutely insane, and not in a good way. That, to me, is too far. I personally, going forward with this race, would do one of two things. You either just... Well, the second thing I think is just you need to be strict and don't have any on-track action if it runs past a point. But in that case, bring everything back a bit in terms of start FP1 earlier in the evening and have FP2 start earlier, to where, like they're doing on race day, with the race starting at 10 p.m. local time, and by the time it should finish, it's midnight, with that scope of it going into the early hours in the morning if need be. Don't have your on-track action start that late. Have it start to a point where it's going to finish no later than midnight. That, I think, is right. Who really finds the idea of Formula One cars running at midnight appealing? It's going to be dark regardless if it starts at 10 p.m. or 12 a.m. It's dark. It's November. It's Las Vegas. It's going to look the same. If you're looking for that visual spectacle of holding a race at night in Las Vegas, it doesn't matter if it's earlier in the evening because it's still dark. And actually, I would use Singapore as an example, and that it has its first practice session on a Friday and on a Saturday, sort of as the sun setting. It's like a bit, it's dusk essentially, and that has its own atmosphere and its own dynamic to it. And then by the time you get to the second practice session and into qualifying, it's night, and you still get those amazing visuals of the Marina Bay sands and over the course, over the look of like the whole city, you still get that. With this, it's just pure darkness, so there's no sort of dynamic visuals to the event itself. It's all just darkness, and that's going to be the case, like I say, whether you're doing it at 8 p.m. 10 p.m. ending at midnight. Essentially, just have all on-track action end at midnight. So if unforeseen things do happen, then you can run in. And it doesn't feel too late. To the point where come 4 a.m. in Vegas, the drivers look absolutely shattered. So there was a lot of mistakes during the extended second free practice session, to the point where some people have seen are saying this was dangerous. The drivers were absolutely exhausted. And I do tend to agree. 3 a.m., 4 a.m., it's too late to be driving a Formula One car. It's far too late. So that would be my advice, would be to bring the event's timings back, just like even just a few hours. It doesn't have to be drastic. You don't have to host it to where you're not getting that visual spectacle of racing F1 cars at night. You can still do that, but don't have your on-track action starting at midnight, especially if the temperatures are going to be as low as, you know, people are saying it's going to be. I mean, come midnight, you know, the same saying the track temperature is going to be like 7 degrees centigrade, which is insane. So bring it back. Capitalize on the slightly higher temperatures. You still get your darkness. And then if the event does happen to roll on past midnight, it's not bordering on being dangerous for those involved. And then you don't have the biggest problem of the entire day, which is the thing that I'm most pissed off about. And I feel so sorry for the fans. They have been there all day. They've been waiting and waiting. And finally, the moment of truth. Formula One cars are on track around the streets of Vegas. Within 10 minutes, it's done because it's the track needs work doing to it. It sucks. It really sucks. But it's not the first time that's happened. But then, because the second practice session was for, you know, scheduled to be so late in the day, it's now led to, you know, for various reasons, the fact they're going to open up the roads at 4 a.m. in the morning or whatever they're going to do. Basically, it was no longer safe, by all accounts, to have that many people in the vicinity to then be able to go back to normal in time for the morning. So they had to get everyone to leave. That is completely and utterly unacceptable. I cannot stress it enough. I feel so sorry for the fans. Imagine any other event where there was a delay and you're waiting and waiting, you're patiently waiting and waiting, and suddenly it's just gone, right, you have to leave now. So, but I haven't seen anything. Yeah, but you have to leave. It's just unfathomable. But like going to a concert and there's a delay because, I don't know, there's something wrong with... You get there and something's wrong with the tech stuff, like the speakers are blown or whatnot, and then you wait and you wait, and then you've waited literally beyond the point where it all should be over, and then they go, oh, actually, you have to leave now. Imagine how angry it would be. Imagine all the Taylor Swift fans, the Swifties, going to the Eras tour. It's delayed because of a tech issue that has nothing really to do, one, with the venue, or with them. It's just something that out of control that needs resolving. But then it reaches the point where the concert's probably due to finish not too long, you know, at that point, and they say, sorry, you've got to go now. Like, I get it, but at the same time, from a consumer standpoint, it's not good. And it's made this Grand Prix look like a complete joke, an amateur hour event, especially considering the money that has been charged for people to go. And one of the commentators on Sky Sport made a really good point saying, well, what if you just turned up for the Friday just to experience it, even like a small part of the weekend, because you can't afford the astronomical prices for the Saturday and the Sunday. And then suddenly you get 10 minutes, the on-track action stopped, and you're asked to leave. Well, not even asked, you're told to leave the track before you can even see a car do anything really meaningful. It's absolutely unacceptable. It's bordering on, it's not quite as bad, but it's not a huge far off, in my eyes anyway, from being an Indy 2005 type of situation. If I was there and that happened to me, regardless of whether I was coming for the rest of the weekend, I would be devastated. So Formula One and the Las Vegas Grand Prix, already, you know, this enormously expensive but still going to be highly profitable Grand Prix has got a setback, a major setback in terms of one, its reputation, and two, trying to find a sort of suitable compensation for the fans affected. Because, you know, they're going to have to undoubtedly give some free, something free back to them as an apology, or they're going to have to give them a refund or partial refund to cover the cost of the day. Like, it sounds like the Las Vegas Grand Prix organisers and Formula One have already put insane amount of money into this project, and now they're going to have to find some more to, you know, compensate fans that were told, sorry, I know you've paid and waited, but you can't actually stay for what you've wanted to come to watch. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. However, I do want to finish this by just quickly talking about the Las Vegas circuit. From the 90 minutes or 100 minutes, if you want to class the first part of the practice day as actual running, I wouldn't. I'd just say you've had 90 minutes of actual proper running. I like the track. And this is where I'm going to be really torn about my thoughts come the end of the weekend about the Grand Prix itself. Because I think you're going to have to separate the on-track aspect of the race weekend with the event itself. Because from the event standpoint, it's been a shit show. But on track, I think this has potential to be one of the best races of the season. The track is actually really challenging. Bear in mind, it looks very basic. There are several sections of the track which look like they're going to be a real challenge. So you've got turn 1, 2, into 3 and 4, which Brundle was stood at one point and said, this looks like it should be a really challenging corner. The cars are taking it very well, but it's a challenging corner. Then you've got the section by the sphere, and you know that looks like a fiddly little section which most tracks have these days. But then you move into the really fast part, down towards the strip for a blast of a long right into a fast long left-hander before the strip. Those look like really cool little corners, really. They're not much of a challenge, but they're fast. And then you get the strip, which looks visually absolutely spectacular. The helicopter shots and from the tops of hotels looks absolutely insane. Looks so cool. It's everything I hoped it would be in terms of a visual spectacle. Then you get the chicane down at the bottom of the strip. I think it turns 14, 15, 16, leading on to the final sprint down to the start finish. That is going to be a really good overtaking spot. And it's just a really tight, difficult, looks slightly off camber, especially in the corner back before the beginning of the strip. There's just some really challenging corners. And that last corner onto the pit straight, again, with heavy fuel loads, cold tyres, that could throw some real spanners in the work. So I'm not entirely negative on the race weekend so far. It's only been one day. I think people getting on their high horse about the man cover need to recognise that this isn't something that's exclusive to this track. It has happened at other circuits that people like. So it's not new. I do feel like it's... people are already very down on the race weekend going into it, and any sort of negative things that take place, whether it be big or small, people are going to just like use it as fuel to, you know, help with their fire essentially. But I will completely agree with people saying about the fans being completely shafted, because it's just so wrong what's happened to them, and I feel so sorry for them, and I really hope they're all compensated accordingly. But I'm more positive about the race weekend than most people I know about. I have been in the build. I've been excited for this race. And on track, I think come Saturday night in Vegas / Sunday morning here in the UK, I think we've really got a good motor race potentially on our hands. But they really need to iron out the kinks with this race weekend, because quite frankly, it has been a bit of a shit show. And you hear stories of, like, you know, bridges getting covered so the locals can't see the track, and businesses are getting their view boarded up because they haven't paid to have the view. And I'm like, I want to cover it all in depth, maybe, you know, next week when everything, the dust has settled down on the race weekend, because I've got a lot of thoughts about that. I have mixed feelings about that sort of scenario, because I can get it, but I also think it does leave a sour taste in the mouth, and is kind of anti-consumer in terms of trying to get new people to tune in and be excited for this, quite frankly, very disruptive event coming to their city. So I have lots of thoughts, but this was just my initial sort of reaction to the first day of the Las Vegas Grand Prix weekend. A mixed bag, I'm going to politely call it. Let me know what you think. Just give me a tweet, give me a message on Instagram, Facebook, whatnot, at Everything Racing Podcast, on all of these social media platforms. I hope you've enjoyed this basically quite thrown together rant. I'm sat at work, AirPods in a little booth, trying to use my phone. No microphone, I'm using the mics on the AirPods, so it all probably sounds horrific. But I wanted to just get it out there. I didn't want to wait till later because I will probably forget half of what I wanted to say. Thank you for listening. Definitely planning on getting more podcasts out there. I know I've said that so many times, but the plan is there. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Enjoy the rest of the Las Vegas Grand Prix weekend, and I will speak to you soon. Take care.